The title that I've got for today's message is called The Holy Spirit, Our Personal Trainer. And I'd like to start with the first few verses of Acts chapter 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, It's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Now, we live in an age where lifestyle coaches are very fashionable, both on television and you can see things on YouTube. We can find programs where we can observe people who have sought out help to make changes in their lives as they work with experts to help them conquer their difficulties. Now, a personal favorite for me is the ones where dog owners who are unable to correct their pet's behavior are helped by animal behaviorists. But it very often becomes apparent that the problems that the animals are experiencing are often more down to the problems of the humans that are interacting with them rather than the dogs themselves. It's the sort of the human bad habits that have created the problem. Now, there are lifestyle coaches for just about anything that human beings fail to get under control through their own efforts. Just a few examples of things I've kind of noted recently. There are experts out there to help people who are hoarders, to help them clear and organize their clutter-filled homes. There are others who coach parents of unruly children, helping them to set boundaries and to establish some sort of peace in their homes. And a very popular form of lifestyle coaching that I've had more direct contact with through my own son is that of the personal trainer. An expert who works with clients in a one-to-one capacity, helping them to achieve their diet and fitness goals. Now, nearly 2 years ago, my son was experimenting with a possible business idea and asked me to be a guinea pig for him. He wanted to create an online diet and fitness coaching service for older women who were struggling with their weight and their exercise regimes. So, given that I felt I did have extra weight that I would benefit from losing, and I had no fitness level whatsoever, I was actually really happy to allow him to guide me with his expertise and see if it would work. Now, his program definitely worked, and it kick-started me into what now is kind of an ongoing lifestyle choice of my own, of a commitment to weight training 3 times a week and really monitoring my food choices each and every day. It's not been easy, and there are plenty of days when I really, really don't want to do what I've committed to doing. Lifestyle coaches and personal trainers design interventions based on the specific needs of the individuals they're supporting. They can respond in real time to difficulties the client is having and can offer informed guidance on how to navigate setbacks and how to continue making progress, even when the challenges seem insurmountable. These coaches spend a great deal of time helping to change the mindset of the people they are supporting. Now, I'm sure that all of this is very helpful for people who can afford to engage the services of such professionals. But even the very best lifestyle coaches are limited. They can only work from the outside. They offer advice and guidance, but they cannot actually get inside the heads of the people they are supporting and make the inner changes needed to truly transform the individual so that they can adopt the healthier behaviors needed to overcome their difficulties. And reflecting on this got me thinking about how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. The Holy Spirit is the ultimate personal trainer. Not only does he know exactly what needs to be done to help each one of us as unique individuals become the spiritually healthy people God wants us to be, he also does the work for us. There is no personal trainer or lifestyle coach in this world who can get inside of us and make the essential changes to our thinking and to our choices that are needed to enable us to eradicate unhealthy behaviors from our lives and replace them with new and healthy habits instead. I'd like to remind you, in last week's message, which I did listen to online, you looked at the account of Peter just after Jesus had been taken away to be crucified. When identified as a Christ follower, Peter denies all knowledge of Jesus, claiming not to know him, nor ever having had anything to do with him. Despite having spent 3 years as a disciple working closely with Jesus, who had been coaching him and the others on what it looks like to live for God's kingdom, Peter, in his own strength, did not have what was needed to sustain the lifestyle changes that had been modeled for him. He failed. And when the cock crowed 3 times, he was reminded that Jesus had predicted this would happen. Take you back to what you saw last week, Matthew 26:75. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. So he went out and wept bitterly. Now, fast forward to Acts chapter 2, and we see a very different Peter as he preaches to the masses at Pentecost. We go to Acts 2, verses 32 to 39. And this is Peter speaking. "This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.' Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Peter, empowered by the Holy Spirit, speaks with power and authority, which convicts the hearts of those who are listening to him. How could Peter have been transformed from a lying coward to a confident spokesperson for Christ within a matter of weeks? I think we have the answer found in Zechariah 4, chapter 6 in the Old Testament. "So he answered and said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" We can try very hard to change our ways and become better versions of ourselves. Think about what Peter had already sacrificed in terms of his employment and how he was living his daily life once he met Jesus. He did far more than many of us would probably choose to do. But despite his willingness to follow Christ, and despite his inner determination to never forsake the Lord, which we can see in Matthew 26:33, Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Peter cannot carry out what he so confidently believes he's able to until he is filled with the Holy Spirit. God has provided each one of us who have accepted salvation with a personal trainer who knows us perfectly and lives within us. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" And unlike human life coaches, he works within us, transforming us through the renewing of our minds. Paul addresses this in Romans and Ephesians, Romans 12:2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And then in Ephesians 4:20-24, "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." Lifestyle coaches and personal trainers know that long-term changes will not happen until a person's mindset has changed. God, through his Spirit, will change our mindsets for us if we allow him to. Philippians 2:13, I use this verse quite a lot, I feel. "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." All the things that we want to do but do not know how or do not have the strength to attempt on our own are possible for us through the working of the Holy Spirit, our personal trainer within us. He will create in us a clean heart every time we fail and will strengthen us to make the changes we need to become more like him. Psalm 51:10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." He will also pray on our behalf when we simply have not got the words. Romans 8:26-27, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." As we align ourselves with his will, we are given the assurance that he will hear us. 1 John 5:14, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." God's word is not a handbook for us to follow slavishly as we embark on a spiritual self-improvement plan. It's not a self-help book. It is the inspired word of God, which actually does the improving for us through the power of his Spirit. His word is effective and works in all of us who believe in him. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Now, we clearly have a responsibility to immerse ourselves in the Word through our own personal study and through exposure to the books and sermons of other faithful Christian Christ followers. But the changes we experience and the time scales for those changes are all the Lord's responsibility. 1 Corinthians 3:7, so neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. We are promised that as we look upon him and allow the Holy Spirit to work within us, we will gradually be transformed into the image of Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. As we get older and have a longer journey to reflect on, it can feel frustrating that progress has appeared to be slow. We must understand that God's patience with us as believers, as well as his patience with the whole of mankind, is due to his desire to see all of us restored to a right relationship with him. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We must remember that we do not have a personal trainer who's coaching us from the sidelines and giving us lots of helpful information, which we then have to go and apply to our lives in our own effort. He lives within us and works daily in our lives as we align ourselves with him, trusting that everything his word says is true and trustworthy. Paul sums this up well in his letter to the Ephesians, which I would like to close with. Ephesians 3:14-21. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for Pentecost. I know it isn't yet Pentecost, but we thank you that the power that enabled Peter to preach with confidence to a crowd of people who had just weeks previously crucified our Lord after he had completely denied all knowledge of Christ as he was led off for his crucifixion, that power makes all the difference in how we as believers go out into this world. I ask, Lord, that you work in each one of our hearts and help us to understand that as long as we are submitting ourselves to you and we're trusting in that power, that you will do what you need to have done through us so that we are fulfilling the plan that you have for each of us in our own lives, but also from this community as we go out into the world. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, and we thank you that you are long-suffering, that you are patient, and that you are transforming us little by little, day by day. As long as we allow you into our lives, you are doing that for us. We thank you and bless you In Jesus' name, amen.